6:18 on the ticket. It's time for the Observation Deck with Gordo, brought to us by Tylock George Eye Care.
Well, I want to talk about a politically related death right here, and it's not the one that we will be talking about in Muse in the News with the murder of Charlie Kirk, which we'll talk about at 7:15 today. That is so shocking and disturbing, and gives you that uneasy feeling about our country, doesn't it?
Yes.
But this one is more of a natural political death, because this person died at the age of 92 of natural causes. And I cannot believe that I missed this death. But Ruth Payne passed away. Now, for those history-minded folks, which I happen to know about history because it's interesting to me, Ruth Payne was the woman who owned the house that Lee Harvey Oswald.
Lee Harvey Oswald.
I've never heard the name.
You're not unfamiliar with his name.
That he stayed the night before he allegedly shot and killed President John F. Kennedy in downtown Dallas. Ruth Payne was a very central figure in the assassination. Not that she had anything to do with it. She was not involved with it, but conspiracy theories. She's another one that later on, conspiracy theorists, they're, a lot of times they're just chasing intrigue. And so they get new people in their sights all the time as to, oh, what about Ruth Payne? Oh, now Marina was in on it. Now, no, it's, you know, you move on from the traditional suspects of, oh, Russians, Cubans, that's not sexy enough. Then you want to get into, no, it was the American government that did it. And then, no, then you want to take the most innocent-looking person in the assassination, and it's fun to accuse them.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of becomes an emotional chasing the dragon.
I bet she did have to go through a lot of questions.
Oh, she went through a lot. And because her father had somehow been involved with the government or CIA or was a contractor. I can't remember. I didn't brush up on all the lore.
Oh, really? Well, that's new information to me.
Yeah, I mean,
I didn't know that.
To a conspiracy theorist, there are no coincidences. I mean, everything happens. I mean, like, if you're going to tell me that she just happened to live in the same city as the man who would be accused of becoming president?
Interesting.
Come to think of it, I believe, Craig, your dad was suspiciously near the assassination site.
He was.
And that can't just be a coincidence. It can't be because people were going to see where the president was.
No, that's too easy an explanation.
No, they were going there because they knew he would be killed and they needed to fake a crowd. Anyway, Ruth Payne passing away at her senior living facility in Santa Rosa, California. She's a I would say outside of Oswald himself and Marina, that Ruth Payne would be the next most important person in that list, because she was the one who gave Oswald's wife a place to stay. She's the one who went and moved them back from New Orleans to Dallas. She's the one who, suspiciously, now that I lay it all out, she also is the one who got him a job at the school book depository.
Huh. Is she really?
Yeah.
Wow.
They were all, the ladies were sitting around outside Ruth Payne's house, and Marina mentioned that Lee needed a job, was looking for a job. And Ruth knew about their other neighbor who worked at the Texas School Book Depository, Wesley Frazier Buell, and said, hey, he works there. Maybe we could, you know, get some, find out if there's job openings. So she directed him, the guiding hand of Ruth Payne directed him to the School Book Depository, which once again becomes evidence of that she's part of the conspiracy. It's not because, well, she was the neighbor who helped him get a job there, and boy, I bet she feels horrible and all that kind of stuff. It's no.
Could have been a Dallas operative that got him the house and the job.
Of course. Of course. And she faced this her whole life, including even when she lived in that senior living facility. I believe it was a documentary just a few years ago. Was it Mrs. Payne's Garage or was that a book? But there was one that I watched just a few years ago that she was in it extensively. And she would always talk about the assassination. Her view was that she always wanted to give her testimony to the world as to what happened, what she saw. Because a lot of the stuff that she saw is the stuff that implicates him the most.
He was a sorry guy.
Well, she had seen it up front, yes. Yep. That she had seen the difficulty in their marriage. And, you know, there's famous pictures of Marina and the kids. I think it was the day after the assassination there at Marina's, at Ruth's house in Irving, which has been turned into a museum. You can actually go and visit it, and I have yet to do that, but would love to see
that's
that.
Amazing.
Including that little single car garage where he kept that rifle. You know, Ruth was the one that led the FBI in there saying, you know, he's got some things stored in there. She's the one who noticed the light on that night. For those that don't remember the story, so Oswald and his wife were separated. They lived in different places at the time. They had a very acrimonious marriage. And Ruth Payne was a woman here who was from America, but she had learned Russian, knew Russian. She was passionate about the Russian language and had gotten to be friends with Marina, gotten to know them. And when they were having problems, Ruth offered to let Marina stay and the kids, because the Oswalds had two kids at that point, let them stay with her in Irving. And Lee Harvey Oswald lived at a rooming house, rented a room here in Oak Cliff. So he didn't see his family until the weekends because he didn't have a car. And that guy that also worked at this Texas School Book Depository that was a neighbor of Ruth Payne's in Irving, he would give Oswald a ride out on weekends so he could see his wife and kids. But during the week, during the work week, he lived here in town. And Oswald came out every Friday with Buell Frazier to visit Marine and the kids staying at Ruth Payne's. Except for one time on a Thursday, he asked to go home on a Thursday instead. And that was the day before the assassination. And Buell Frazier asked him, well, why you got to go out there? He said, oh, I just got to pick up some curtain rods from Marina and Ruth's, you know. Okay, fine. You can ride back with me in the morning. And Oswald did ride back with him on Friday morning, day of the assassination. And he had a package that was, you know, a couple feet long that he told Buell Frazier was curtain rods. And, but that night, that Thursday night, he goes to Ruth's house, visits with Marina in her bedroom, begs her to reconcile, begs her to get back together. They had been in a fight. Marina said that she didn't want to give in too quickly because she was really mad at him and said no, they wouldn't reconcile. I think he asked her three times and she kept saying no. And so that's when Oswald, he spent the night with her that night and then went back the next morning with his package of curtain rods to the school book depository. And then the shooting happens. And Marina notices after she wakes up, she was a late sleeper, probably woke up around the time of the assassination, around just after noon. But noticed there on the dresser that Lee Oswald had left her $175 or somewhere around that, which is all the money they had. And his wedding ring was in a teacup on top of her dresser that he never took off. He took off his ring and gave her all his money and then went into work with this package of curtain rods. Wow. Now, after the assassination, of course, they didn't find the curtain rods anywhere that he had left in the school book depository. They didn't find them in the back of Buell Frazier's car. They found the bag hidden on the sixth floor. That was the bag that was consistent with the one that Buell Frazier had seen that had supposedly brought curtain rods back. When the authorities go out to Irving, when they find out where Oswald's wife lived and go to interview them, the FBI is asking Marina questions, and Ruth Payne had to interpret all of this. So all of the conversation between cops and Marina Oswald went through Ruth Payne and asked, you know, does Lee own a gun? And of course, Ruth says, no, he doesn't own a gun. And Marina stops her and recognizes the word gun and says something to Ruth. And okay, well, he actually, Marina says he does own a gun. Well, where is it? Well, he keeps it in the garage. He keeps it in the garage. It's rolled in a blanket, Marina says. So they go out to the garage, which Ruth had noticed that the light had been left on the night before in the garage, and she didn't know why, because Lee had been in there.
Rooting around, getting his gun.
And they go into the garage, and they see the blanket roll on the floor of the garage where he kept it, and Ruth said that she was relieved when she saw that the blanket roll's there, because it's about the size of a gun. The FBI agent goes and picks it up from the middle, and it folds down on either side of his hand. The gun was not in there. And they never found the curtain rods, the supposed curtain rods in the depository and the car. And then they go to his rooming house, of course, on Beckley Street, and it had full curtains the whole time. There weren't any, wasn't any need,
no need for curtain rods. Have you been by that house? You say you haven't been to the museum.
I've never been driven by the house, no.
I was wondering what part of Irving it is.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I need to go see that. But Ruth Payne was a huge, and she talked with all these documentaries. You know, that to me is, I mean, her testimony was just integral to painting the picture of it. And of course, if you want to reverse engineer it, you say that's evidence of the conspiracy, right? Mm-hmm. Because she was such an integral, but she was the person who lived with them, who gave them a house to stay in, who helped them move from New Orleans to Dallas, who, you know, thought she was doing a nice thing. She was a very religious Quaker woman, and she got really accused by a lot of conspiracy theorists. She's gone through periods of time where she's been the fun one to say that she's the one who's in on it. Because it's That's to terrible. all of us armchair investigators, you know, it's fun to point fingers and just accuse people, but this is these people's lives and they get to be hounded.
Mm-hmm. You know how you remember where you were and that you were the person that told Marv Levy that Dave Campo had been hired by the Cowboys in Atlanta.
Yes.
In Atlanta in 2000 at the Hard Rock.
Yeah, that's...
Well, I will always remember that I was the one that informed you of the passing of Ruth Payne.
Yeah, Craig told me about it. I didn't even know about it. And he said, man, I'm surprised you haven't covered this Ruth Payne thing. It's like, what Ruth Payne thing? Well, all I know is it's very suspicious that Ruth Payne has been silenced.
That's right. Add her to the list. That's another one.
That's what I have to say about this, is that Ruth Payne has been silenced at the age of 92.
Uh-huh.
The government does not forget.
That's right.
They do not forget.
It's a dish silencing that is best served very cold.
Best served very cold, and after someone has ample opportunity to not be silent about things.